We'll just sing a couple of songs tonight and offer Lord's Supper if someone was not available to be with the brethren this morning. And then I'll just close this, some scripture reading, close up the lesson this evening on the Passover weekend. All right. You were at the singing this afternoon. You just had an experience. A good one, I hope. Hope you enjoyed that. A few songs we don't sing that often. So we had lots of participation. So just some, as you with the announcements at the close of the singing. So you heard about lots of vacation Bible schools that are going to be going on next Sunday afternoon on the. On the fifth Sunday, some of the congregations in the area are trying to get together and just have a meal and an afternoon worship assembly. And so next Lord's Day is the fifth Sunday, and Bostonia is going to host that. So if you want to, after the assembly here, make the drive out there and have a meal and an afternoon worship assembly, you're very welcome. But I think you're going to start eating at noon. Their assembly starts before ours, I think 9 o'clock. Don't forget, we're going to have a potluck here at our building coming up July 12 at 4 p.m. The theme's a garden picnic, and there's sign up sheet for food. But if you don't bring anything, don't come anyway. It's a friendship fellowship, and I'll have a little the right word, event for you. Something to do. Got a flyer for the one BBS at Brother Belcher mentioned it. It's really starting next Sunday, the 29th. Then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. They don't tell me. I think they're having a meal, aren't they? What, like at 5 o'clock or 6? Right. I only have the schedule for the adult class. There's two speakers each night. So that starts at 6 then, right? Be from 6 to 8 for the BBS. Yeah, so Monday night. John's going to do the first message each evening at 6 o'clock on the life of Christ. So he's got the Jesus birth, childhood, next event of night, ministry years, next night, death and resurrection, next night, Jesus return. And then the second speaker each night for the adult Bible classes, he has Daryl Williams. He's from Granger Street, National City. Anthony Feaster, 32nd Street. Daryl Tripp from Bostonia. And Don Warner from 69th Street. So that's it. That's starting a week from today. Okay. All right. Think of anything else. Hey, Brother Rose, I just handed out the outlines. I think you probably got one before, but the extras, and we're going to close out the message, but you put them on the stand, or he might have had one from last week or 2 weeks ago. All right, let's begin with prayer, so bow with me, please. Our Father and our God in heaven, as always, we say thank you for the day that you've given to us. We're especially mindful of this day, the blessing and the privilege, the opportunity we have of assembly. We're so thankful that we can meet as a congregation of your people to give you worship and praise. And we pray that we do so with abundant reverence. So bless us as we present ourselves before you in worship. We're mindful of the needs of the congregation here. So we pray your blessings upon us. But those, so many are experiencing illnesses. And on their behalf, we pray for their well-being. Keep our eyes open, we pray, that we may lift up those who are fallen and encourage those who are weak. And just visit those who are experiencing those illnesses. So bless us from above. For those who are traveling, we pray always safe journey. Bring them home safely. Bless us this evening as we assemble together. We pray our faith grows stronger and we're brought closer to you and to one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Let's sing number 700 this evening. Number 700. It's been a kind of a long day, so my voice is getting a little bit weaker, but that's all right. Number 700.
More love to thee, O Christ, more love to thee. Hear thou the prayer I make on bended knee. This is my earnest plea, more love, O Christ, to thee, more love to thee, more love to thee. Once earthly joy craved, sought peace and rest. Now thee alone I seek, give what is best. This if my prayer shall be, more love, O Christ, to thee, more love to thee, more love to thee. Then shall my latest breath whisper thy praise. This be the parting cry my heart shall raise. This still its prayer shall be, more love, O Christ, to thee, more love to thee, more love to thee.
Number 669. Six, six, nine. And the chorus are the words in italics where it says refrain. You see those? 669. Refrain, yeah.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love. Lord, I give my life to thee, thine forever more to be. Lord, I give my life to thee, thine forever more to be. Take my will, make it thine. It shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, and it is thine own. It shall be thy royal throne. Lord, I give my life to thee, thine forevermore to be. The Lord, I give my life to thee, thine forevermore to be. Take my love, my Lord, I pour at thy feet its treasures store. Take myself and I will be ever only all for thee. Lord, I give my life to thee, thine forevermore to be. Lord, I give my life to thee, thine forevermore to be.
Number 709.
How sweet, how heavenly is the sight when those that love the Lord in one another's peace delight and so fulfill the word. When each can feel his brother's sigh and with him apart, when sorrow flows from eye to eye and joy from heart to heart, when free from envy, scorn, and pride our wishes all above, each can his brother's failings hide and show a brother's love. When love in one delightful stream through every bosom flows, when union sweet and dear esteem in every judge glows. Love is the golden chain that binds the happy souls above, and he's an heir of heaven who finds his bosom glow with love.
We'll sing 927 after the lesson. 927. It's been going through some notes on the Passover weekend. We started with those events in the upper room. And then that followed with the events in the Garden of Gethsemane. Also noted the six different trials of Jesus. I got to turn my page here. And then the ways that Pilate tried to get Jesus released. Just note those. First of all, when Jesus appears before Pilate, he realizes that he's a Galilean and in Herod's jurisdiction. So in Luke 23, verse 6, he sends him to Herod. And then Herod sends him back to Pilate. But Herod says, I find no fault in the man. So he sends him back. Second, so Pilate said after examination, there was nothing worthy of death. In Luke 23, verse 13, Pilate said, I find no fault in the man. excuse me, concerning these things of which you accuse him. And then he said, neither did Herod. Indeed, nothing deserving of death has been done by him. In Luke 23, verses 13 through 15. And then number three, in verse 16, the very next verse, Pilate offers a mild form of punishment and then a release. The verse says, well, I will therefore chastise him and release him. Well, that didn't work either. So in verse 17, he says it's necessary to release one to them at the feast. But they all cried out, saying, away with the man and release to us Barabbas. I wanted to read just Matthew's account. It's kind of interesting. And just for information and to kind of fill in the gaps in the story. So I'm going to read Matthew's account, Matthew 27, about the release of Barabbas. Beginning of verse 15. Okay, Matthew 27, beginning of verse 15. Now at the feast, the Passover, the governor was accustomed to releasing to the multitudes one prisoner whom they wished. And at that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they had gathered together, Pilate said to them, whom do you want me to release to you? Barabbas or Jesus, who's called Christ? For he knew that they'd handed him over because of envy. And while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent to him saying, have nothing to do with that just man. For I've suffered many things today in a dream because of him. But in verse 20, the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitudes that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said to them, but which of the two do you want me to release to you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate said to them, what then shall I do with Jesus, who's called Christ? They all said to him, let him be crucified. Then the governor said, why? What evil has he done? They cried out all the more, saying, let him be crucified. Well, when Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather that a tumult was rising, he took water, washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I'm innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it. And all the people answered and said, his blood be on us and on our children. Well, then he, meaning Pilate, released Barabbas to them. When they'd scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. So Pilate tried to escape the judgment situation, but it just didn't work out. So after we had the trials of Jesus, the next event is the crucifixion of Jesus. And I just put in your notes the seven words from the cross. You can look these up in the gospel accounts. It's in all of them. But just the seven words, and most I put in Matthew, Luke, and John. Luke 23, verse 34, then Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Second phrase in Luke 23, verse 43, Jesus said to him, assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. And then John records the next one in John 19, verse 26. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own. And then the next one, the fourth saying from the cross in Matthew 27, verse 46. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Then number five in John 19, verse 28, I thirst. John 19, verse 30, it's finished. And then in Luke 23, verse 46, when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And having said that, he breathed his last. And then you have the did I put the burial of Jesus in your notes? I don't remember. Okay. I just want to read in Mark, just a couple verses cover the burial. In Mark 15, beginning of verse 42. Mark 15, verse 42. So now when evening had come, because it was the preparation day, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent council member, who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, coming and taking courage, went into Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate marveled that he was already dead. Remember in one of the other gospel accounts, Pilate sends a centurion to make sure that he's dead before he releases the body. So in Mark's account, Pilate marveled that he was already dead. And summoning the centurion, he asked if he'd been dead for some time. So when he found out from the centurion, he granted the body to Joseph. Then he bought fine linen, took him down, wrapped him in the linen, laid him in a tomb which had been hewn out of a rock, and rolled a stone against the door of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, or Joseph, observed where he was laid. Oh, wow. So that's the body. The other gospel accounts will mention Nicodemus also was with Joseph of Arimathea to help in the bearing of the body. Luke's account tells us about the resurrection. We'll close with this one. In Luke 24, beginning of verse 1. Now, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they'd prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. They went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then, as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, Why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again. They remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. Their words seemed to them like idle tales. They didn't believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping down, saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. I just put in your notes in closing. I think on the last page, I didn't put them in my... On the last page, just in 1 Corinthians 15, where Paul writes, if there's no resurrection of the dead, there's eight things that Paul mentions, concludes, if there's no resurrection, here's the close. If there's no resurrection of the dead, and I didn't type all of the verse, but just the highlights. If there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty. In other words, why am I standing here? Why am I here giving a lesson if there's no resurrection? We're just a religious club, a society. And then again, and your faith is also empty. Why are you listening? Why am I preaching and why are you listening if there's no resurrection? And says, yes, and we're found false witnesses of God because we've testified of God that he raised up Christ. Right, we're false witnesses if there's no resurrection. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. Why do you believe in something that's not true? And you're still in your sins because Christ died for our sins. Resurrected just for our justification. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. In other words, they just lived their life. That's it. We lived, we died. We were born, we lived, we died. There's no eternity if Christ is not risen. Okay? And so, and then, so if in this life only we have hope in Christ, meaning if he wasn't resurrected, then we're of all men most pitiable. We just live our life, and that's it. So the consequence, there's eight consequences if Jesus wasn't resurrected. So that closes out the Passover weekend. So that's the lesson. That kind of just gave this lesson just for instruction or information, but yet there's things in there that establishes our faith. Again, all scripture, 2 Timothy 3, verse 15 and 16, of all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is. And it's profitable. There's benefits for the scripture, profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be complete, truly furnished unto all good works. So the value of scripture. So I just wanted to do the last one here, just spend time just really just reading the text. And hopefully not enjoy reading and enjoy hearing, but as Jesus said in the Revelation chapter 1, that there's a greater blessing in doing. as much as there's a blessing in hearing, and there is, it's a greater blessing in doing. So that's the lesson. Next Sunday night, Chris Delgado will be giving the lessons the fifth Sunday of the month, and he's consented throughout the year to preach on those fifth Sunday nights. He and his son-in-law, Sam, are making their journey back this way right now. Just a little while ago, about an hour or so ago, they were in Phoenix, Arizona area on Highway 8 coming this direction. So we certainly continue to pray for safe journey for them. Right, always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement. If you're not a member of the New Testament church, meaning you have not obeyed that gospel, good news message. As Jesus commissioned his disciples, his last words, Jesus, what do you want to say before you ascend to the heavens? He said in Matthew 28, beginning verse 18, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Make disciples, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name by heaven's authority, in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. And then continued education, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So that's a good news message he wanted presented, preached, taught to everybody. Make disciples of all the nations. So if you're not a disciple, not a Christian, not a member of the New Testament church, you had that opportunity this evening. Well, let's stand together and we'll sing this song as a song or a hymn of encouragement and invitation. 927.